Again, Revelation chapter 3. And last week, we began to read Jesus' sixth letter, which was to the church in Philadelphia. Okay. In which Jesus said to the Apostle John in verse 7, and to the angel of the church, or the pastor of the church in Philadelphia, write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. I see, I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. So as we learned last week, the Church of Philadelphia was only the second church out of the seven that Jesus wrote to that he didn't have any negative things to say about them. Two out of seven. And again, Jesus says he knows everything the church is doing, and it's good. And he encourages them by saying he had opened the door of opportunity for ministry for that church, and no one could shut it down. Okay, now you might think, well, who would want to shut down a church's ministry? Who would want to shut down a church that was, you know, all for good? I mean, what church isn't for good? Whether it's for the good of the people, the good of the community, the good of missions, all kinds of things. Why would anyone want to shut that down? Well, Satan is one, of course. And those he influences to oppose the Lord's work. They would want to do that. And this is still going on this very day. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've read on the internet where people were saying they can't wait till all the churches close and Christianity goes away. Really? A lot of people. I mean, that's not going to happen. I mean, if you think about it, you know, Satan has been trying to thwart God's plan since Genesis with Adam and Eve. He tried to thwart God's plan throughout the Old Testament. He tried to thwart God's plan while Jesus was in the womb. Remember with Herod wanting to kill the children? All the children under 2 years old. His parents had to flee. And then Satan tried to thwart God's plans during and after Jesus' ministry. Remember? Who took Jesus up to the pinnacle of the temple and tempted him? The devil. And then the enemy tried to thwart God's plan through the Holocaust with the Jewish people because, you know, God's got a plan for them. He hasn't given up on them. And then the enemy tried to thwart God's plans before and after Israel became a nation. I believe it was maybe only 7 days, a week, after they became a nation, Arab countries around them attacked them. A week. Guess who won that battle? Israel did. How do you do that? You just become a nation and defeat a number of other countries militarily. We know how. God's looking out for them. And you say, well, why would God want to look out for them? They don't believe in him, many of them. Well, he looked out for me. He looked out for you before we became Christians. I can say that for sure. Maybe you can also. Right? Scripture says, while we were still what? Sinners, Christ died for us. He had us in mind on that cross 2,000 years ago, knowing that I would be this sinner. And you also. So that's why he's still looking out for Israel. He called them his people. That hasn't changed. He doesn't go back on his promises. Thank God. Imagine if he went back on the promises he made to us. Where would that leave us? Not in a good place, for sure. But again, the enemy's trying to thwart God's plans. Again, up until this very day. But Satan's days are numbered. And if the Lord tarries, we'll learn more about that in our future studies. What's in store? But the rest of verse 8, Jesus tells them, after he says he had set an open door for them, he says, for you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. So again, Jesus says he's opened a door that no one can shut. Because they have a little strength, have kept his word, and have not denied his name. And so as we said last week, the church was small, weak, and maybe didn't have a major effect on the people in the community, in that city, but they were loyal to Jesus at all times, as they not only believed in his word, they also lived it. They also lived it. So let's look in Psalm 119. Right? Because Jesus said in Revelation that that church in Philadelphia kept his word. Psalm 119, verse 1. And I'm going to read pretty far. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with a whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts or your teachings diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments, and I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes, and I will not forget your word. Okay, let's go down to verse 33. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it till the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I observe it with my whole heart. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things, and revive me in your way. Establish your word to your servant, who is devoted to fearing you. Okay? So this is how important God's word is. Now, I just want to look at Saul, the first king of Israel, and what happened to him and why in regards to God's word. So let's go to 2 Chronicles, to the left from Psalms. First Chronicles, chapter 10. First Chronicles, chapter 10, verse 13. And it says, "And so Saul died for his unfaithfulness, which he had committed against the Lord." Why? Because he did not keep the word of the Lord. And also because he consulted a medium for guidance. But he did not inquire of the Lord. Therefore, he killed him and turned the kingdom over to David, the son of Jesse. Keeping the word of the Lord. Now, back in Revelation, Jesus had said to them, again in verse 8, "For you have little strength and have kept my word and have not denied my name." But when persecution did come to the church of Philadelphia at the hands of Romans and Jews, they didn't compromise. They didn't back down. They didn't deny being a follower of the Lord Jesus. Now, when we think of denying the Lord Jesus, we think of someone saying no, or like Peter, right? He denied knowing the Lord 3 times. But denying Jesus is not just saying no, I'm not a Christian. But it's also if we hide our Christianity, that we do know the Lord, that is the same thing as denying him. Not wanting people to know that we're a Christian, or afraid to say that we're a Christian, or that we read the Bible or study his word. But let's go, we're in Revelation, just go right just to the left into 1 John chapter 2. First John chapter 2, verse 18. And the Apostle John writes, "Little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is the Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. But whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also." Now, let's go to the left till we get into Hebrews, right before James chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews Hebrews chapter 10, verse 37. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry or delay. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to destruction, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. So he's talking about drawing back from our faith, pulling away from our faith. So back in Revelation, chapter 3, verse 9, he says to this church in Philadelphia, indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. So in Philadelphia, this city, there were many who were born Jews and believed that they were God's people, which they were. But Jesus calls them liars from the synagogue of Satan because they were enemies to the church in Philadelphia. Now, if you remember John's gospel, Jesus said to some of the Jewish leaders that they were of their father, who? The devil. He called their father the devil. These were the Jewish religious leaders, the top ones in Israel at that time. He says, your father is the devil. Because the enemy was influencing them against Jesus, against the apostles. And because a real Jew in God's eyes is who? A real Jew in God's eyes is one who believes in Jesus, the Messiah, the one that God sent to the Jews. That's a real Jew in God's eyes who receives the one who was sent to them. And so today we do have those Jews who have received Jesus as their Lord and Messiah because they know God had sent him to be that. Other Jews, they're still blinded to this just like they were in Jesus' day. Does that make us any better? One time I was blinded to the Lord also. Knew about him, heard about him, knew what he did, but I didn't know him. I was blinded to who he really was and what he did on the cross. And in verse 9 again, at the bottom, the middle, he says, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. So though in 2 Peter chapter 3, it says God desires that none should perish, Jesus promises the Philadelphia church that one day all the enemies of God will be forced to bow down at their feet and not worship and confess them, but worship and confess the Lord. And they will know how much the Lord Jesus loved his church. So let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. So it's right before Colossians. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. And Paul writes, therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at that name of Jesus, every knee should what? Bow. Of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amazing. So that's what Jesus means in Revelation. So back in Revelation, verse 10 of chapter 3. And Jesus says to the church, in verse 10, Jesus says, because you have kept my command to persevere, I will also keep from you the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Okay, so the literal translation of the first part of the verse is, since you have kept my word, kept the word of my patience, right? That's the literal translation. Did you know the Lord is patient or being patient? Or did you know the Lord is patiently waiting? For what? What's he waiting patiently for? Well, we just talked about it. He's been waiting a long time in human years until the time comes when he comes in judgment and his enemies are made his footstool. Right? Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3. Second Peter chapter 3, verse 3. And Peter writes, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days. What are scoffers? Scoffers there, they mock. They will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and the destruction of ungodly men. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years is one day. And the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So the Lord is being patient. Not wanting anyone to go to hell. And let's go to James chapter 5, just to the left of 1 Peter. And look what St. James says in verse 7 to believers. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the earth early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. And indeed, we count them blessed to endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and have seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. Okay? So back in Revelation, Jesus is telling the church, because they have patiently endured their enemies like he is. In verse 10, he says, I will also keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. So this is a clear reference to what the Lord himself calls the great tribulation in Matthew chapter 24. And this is a time of incredible, horrendous distress that will come upon the whole world in the future, the likes of which has never been before in human history, nor will ever be again. And we're going to read vivid descriptions of this as we go on in our study, as God is going to pour out judgment after judgment upon the wicked human race. As a last call for people to repent and turn away from their wickedness and turn to God. And you see, because there's a lot of tribulation in the world today, right? I don't have to tell you that. You turn on the TV right away. You turn on the news 2 minutes later. There's some kind of wickedness going on. You know, but again, Scripture says Satan is the god of this world. He's the one influencing all this stuff and creating all this chaos and havoc. But it's different when the Lord comes, because that tribulation is going to be from him. Okay? But again, we're going to spend a lot more time discussing this in future lessons. But today, many in the church are terrified that these events will happen in our lifetime. But the promise to the church here and elsewhere in Scripture is that believers specifically are to be delivered not from the time of trial, but to be taken out of this horrendous time that's going to come upon the earth. And again, like we learned in the beginning of our study of Revelation, in order to understand Revelation, we have to use other scriptures to help us do that. If we just read Revelation on our own, didn't have the rest of the Bible, we'd be lost. We wouldn't know what was going on. So I'm just going to take a few minutes. We're going to look at about this great tribulation coming. So Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21, verse 34. And Jesus says, but take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life. And that day, see that's capital D? That day, what's that day? That judgment day. And that, he says, again, don't let your hearts be weighed down with all carousing, drunkenness, cares of this life, and that judgment day come upon you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Counted worthy to escape these things that are going to come. Now let's go to the right into John, Gospel of John, chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 1. And Jesus again says, Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Okay, so Jesus has prepared a place. And he says he'll come for us. Now let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5. That's after Colossians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 13. And Paul writes, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep or those who have died, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, God will bring with him those who have died in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep or have died. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words." Okay, so this is talking about the rapture, when the Lord will come and take us out of here. This is before the tribulation. And let's go to chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians, verse 9. He says, "For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him." Okay. So again, the Lord's going to take us out of here before this God's judgment comes upon this wicked earth and all of Satan's doing. And the thing is, prophetically, of all the prophecy in the Bible, there's nothing yet to be done before that time comes. So we're in that time where the Lord could return to take us out of here, and then this judgment comes upon the earth. But we know, we see, we read, the return of the Lord Jesus is going to be immediate, lightning fast. And so we need to be prepared. One more scripture, and then we're going to close. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. To the right out of John. After Romans, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 50. Paul writes, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God." Right? The bodies that we have, this flesh and blood, cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. "Nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall not all die. But we shall all be what? Changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible," meaning our bodies, "must put on incorruption. And this mortal body must put on immortality." So that's why we're going to see in, well, let's go back to Revelation. In verse 11 he says, "Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast," or "hold on tight to what you have, that no one may take your crown." Now when it says here, "Behold, I am coming quickly," the word for quickly there is suddenly. So we have to keep, like he's saying here, keep his word, do not deny his name, and live in expectation of the Lord's return. live in expectation for the Lord's return. Because he's got something so much better for us. Right? We just read. He said, in my house there are many mansions. We can't even begin to understand that. I mean, I like Bayonne, but I'm sure heaven, whatever he's got, is a lot better. I'd rather live there. But imagine living in eternity in Bayonne. Really. But God is so good. I mean, again, just keeping his word, and we'll keep going through his word till either we go to be with him or he comes to be with us. He comes to take us out of here. Amen.